Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio. And I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we're celebrating 5 years broadcasting here on Blog Talk Radio. Many, many thousands of listeners throughout the years. And we want to thank God for providing this outlet to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel that has saved me, has saved you that are born again. And we know about the goodness of God. We know about the mercy of God. We know about God's grace and his compassion toward us. So praise the Lord, we want to share that good news with a lost and dying world. And we also have a website, propheticnews.com. And if you wanted to contact me by mail, our mailing information is there on the website. You can see the contact information. Also, we have an email address, susan@propheticnews.com. If you wanted to send me an email, you can do that. And also, we have a YouTube channel, which is under my name, Susan Puzio, and there's some interesting videos there. I think you'll, we have some video of Paula White's ex-world ministry headquarters there that's deserted. So you can see those. I went there myself, and I took the pictures. Because you can hear one story from people, but you can see another story if actually people go and report on the scene. And if there's anybody that lives in the Orlando area, if you would contact me at propheticnews.com or email me, susan@propheticnews.com, I would like to contact you, okay? So, anyway, those resources are out there for you, and remember that all our programs are archived on Blog Talk Radio, so you can go back, and they're on iTunes. You can go back and listen to any of the programs that we've done in the past. And also, it is a live call-in program, so if you have a question or a comment, you can call in at 914-338-1638. So those resources are available. Next week, we'll have Jackie Alnor on, and we'll be talking about the rapture and the new Left Behind movie. And also, why does this topic seem to bring so much division to the body of Christ? There's a few topics I noticed that if you talk about them or you question them, people really get angry. So for some reason, everybody's got their little pet doctrine about the end times, and I think we should be able to discuss things without getting angry, and we can still be friends even if we disagree. But anyway, she'll be on, and she'll be getting back from her trip. She's been in England, Wales, and Scotland, so I'm sure she'll have some interesting things to tell us about what's going on over there. And then the week after that, we're going to bring back Brother Moses Preston, who was on last week when we discussed the Day of Atonement offering, or is it another scam? So next week, or the week after, when Brother Moses comes back on, we're going to talk about Does God have a calendar? Do we celebrate Jewish feast days as New Testament believers? Is Jesus our Passover? I think he is. It says that in 1 Corinthians 5:7. So we'll be talking about, does God have portals? I heard Rod Parsley saying that today when I recorded some of his video. He was saying that God has portals in heaven. I didn't know that God had portals in heaven. Like, what is he going to send down from heaven? The only thing I know that he sends down is rain. He sends rain. He sends snow. Hail comes down out of the sky. I don't remember anywhere in the Bible where any money came out of a portal from heaven. Has anybody ever heard of that or seen that? Wow, that would really be something. But according to Rod Parsley, God has special times of the year where these portals open up. And if you send Rod God some offerings, then these portals will open up for you. That sounds like a strange God to me. Anyway, so our topic today, and I thought probably most of you thought, what kind of a topic is that? Anyway, the topic today is gone a-whoring. And you wonder, okay, for some of the new modern translations of the Bible, that word is not in there. They took the word whore and whorish and whoring. They took that out. I think that's a good word. I think it's a very descriptive word, and it is in the King James Bible. But some people say, well, why do you say pimp preacher? Okay, this is why we say pimp preacher, because they've gone a-whoring after the world, and you'll see, I'll go over some of those scriptures with you today. They go a-whoring after the things of the world. They go a-whoring after greed. They go a-whoring after idolatry. They go a-whoring after other women and men outside of their marriage. And it's a slippery slope. Let me put it to you that way. When we are more interested in serving mammon instead of God, then we're going to take a fall. And I noticed that even Wendy Alec, we're going to talk a little bit about that today, about the fall of the God TV network. And I noticed a little bit of bitterness in her voice when she mentioned, I guess, some of the things that people had been putting up on the internet. But for the most part, maybe Wendy Alec should pay attention to some of the things that people are saying, because obviously her marriage fell apart. Her husband ran off with another woman and doesn't even want to be in the ministry anymore, if he ever was really saved. I don't know. I doubt it. But so it has nothing to do with anybody on the internet. Nobody on the internet made that happen. Maybe if the people there at God TV, if Wendy and Rory and the staff there would listen to some of the people that are warning them about the fundraising techniques that they used, about the manipulation and the witchcraft that they use, and they call it ministry and they call it God. And you can't do that. You can't take the gospel and prostitute it for your own gain and then not expect God to judge you. And somewhere down the road, you're going to suffer somehow from your disobedience. It just doesn't work that way. And I think that perhaps and hopefully there'll be some more Nathans and some people like that, like the prophet Nathan. He went to David and he told David, he said to David, he said, "Thou art the man." When David had Bathsheba's husband killed so that he could be with her, and he was trying to cover it up, and God sent Nathan there, and Nathan pointed his finger right at him and told him. So it's the same thing there. No one wants to see a marriage broken up. I don't get any pleasure out of that. I don't like to see a wife. I've had friends that their husbands ran out on them. It's devastating. Devastating. It's worse than a death because they're still alive. And you know what they're doing. And it's horrible. It's torture. So, and what an embarrassment to the kingdom of God that Rory Alec runs off. And it's made all the top newspapers there in England, headlines about this. So it's very tragic. And they have two children also, two grown children, but it's not easy for them either to know that their father is such a jerk that he runs off and leaves their mother and leaves their ministry behind to go run off with some Jezebel. So anyway, hopefully this man will get saved. And you might say, okay, well, they're on television, they talk about Jesus, and they have a Christian network, so-called. But to me, people that are really born again and really have ministries, they don't use these kind of manipulative fundraising techniques. Because even if you did it once or you did it twice, eventually, if you're really a saved person, God is going to deal with you, and you're going to see that what you're doing isn't right. So these people don't ever stop. I'm going to play a few clips in a little while of Rod Parsley. I mean, just last week he had the Day of Atonement offering, and he was telling you last week that there was a window open for this, and you had to get in on this because you couldn't let it pass by. But now this week he's already starting on the Passover offering. So he's got this week he's got something else. But that's why I question Wendy and Rory Alec's Christianity, because if you've ever watched the network and they promote Todd Bentley, now, does that guy look strange to you? To me, he looks very strange. He didn't get all those tattoos before he was saved. No, he got all those tattoos after he was saved. He got the earring in his chin after he was saved. I think his wife's got one in her cheek or something. I don't know. Very strange. But they promoted Todd Bentley, who claims that the dead were raised in his so-called ministry, who also left his wife and children behind for another woman. They promote people like Rick Joyner, who is a Knight of Malta, and who claims that he's been in the throne room. He's actually been in the throne room. I don't think so. I don't know what throne room he was in, but he definitely wasn't in heaven. And then he joined a secret Catholic organization, the Knights of Malta. No, that doesn't go together. True biblical Christianity and belonging to a secret Catholic military organization, it doesn't jive. So we need to be aware that Jesus said that wolves would come in after he left, and we have to be conscious of wolves. We have to know the word of God so that we're not deceived by these people. And how easy it is to be deceived. These people on the Daystar Network about 2 weeks ago, they had one of those crazy telethons. And they claim that they raised $25 million in a week in pledges. Now, wow, $25 million? And all they did was lie and con people the whole time, and they even had their children doing it. So just see how lucrative it is for them to do this? But a person that's really born again, how many of you go out and rob your friends? And you, how many of you go up to your friends and you say to your friends, look, if you give me $100, you're going to get $1,000 back. Not only that, if you give me $100, but you're going to have salvation. Write it on your check when you give it to me, okay? Write it on your check that you're believing God for salvation. Write it on your check that you're going to believe God for debt cancellation. Never mind that you buy things you don't need and your credit cards are maxed out and you won't work. Just write it on your check. And also healing, you need some healing, just write it on your check when you sow your seed. Now, which one of us treats our friends like that? We wouldn't be friends very long, would we, if I treated you like that? Which one of us treats our family members like that? We don't do that. No, we don't do that. So why do people send $25 million, $25 million in a week to these pimp preachers? Something is really wrong. There's something really wrong out there, and they talk about revival. Revival, they need to get saved. Yeah, somebody needs to preach the gospel to them, because somewhere along the line they're missing it, because that's no gospel of Jesus Christ for sure. I don't have anything against people taking up an offering or supporting your church or supporting a ministry. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as you do it from your heart, you do it because you want to, and nobody picked your pocket to get it. So freely we give. Freely we have received, and freely we give. So anyway, I'm going to play a couple clips in a little while. And we'll go over a few scriptures here, because you will see that God talks about the gonorrhoeing and whoredom and a whorish woman. Now, the Bible says that an adulterous woman, her ways go down to hell. Well, that's nothing to mess around with. So we really need to pray for this man, Rory Alec, because he's in real danger of his eternal destiny at this point. And so also we have, you know, in the news the past few weeks, we've been hearing so much about the Ebola outbreak. And to me, now this is a real scary one, because we had the AIDS outbreak. Now, AIDS is bad enough. Sexually transmitted diseases are on the rise. Did it stop anybody? It's of course it stopped some people, but most people in the world, it didn't stop them from having sexual relationships with people. AIDS wasn't enough to stop them. Ebola, here's this Ebola outbreak. Now, they don't really know how it's transmitted. They were saying, oh, you had to come in contact with someone. They had to sweat on you or bleed on you or whatever. Now they're saying they don't really know. It could be airborne. So we don't really know about this thing. They're saying possibly it could have originally been furred from dead animals. And now we are in this country, so we say, oh, we know about hygiene and we know about standards, and we know if we have a cold or the flu, we know what to do. But no, we don't know what to do, because I've seen it in my own family with two elderly parents, and other family members have the flu, and they come around and they're hugging and kissing, and then the old person is down and almost dying with pneumonia, because even the family doesn't have enough sense to know that when they have the flu or a cough or whatever, you're not supposed to go around people and touch them. So how do you think they're going to contain this Ebola virus if we can't even contain the flu in this country? You go to church and they say, okay, give everybody a hug, hold hands, and then the person next to you is coughing and sneezing, and they bring their kids to church coughing and sneezing. So we're supposed to be a nation of intelligent people. We can't even contain the common cold. So how do you think they're going to contain this Ebola outbreak? They're not. They couldn't even contain it when the man that died in Dallas, and also remember whatever, you know, stories going around that may he didn't get good care because of the color of his skin. But let me remind you of something. He was in a hospital when they knew he had Ebola, and people were taking care of him. They were actually risking their own life to care for him in a hospital. So people did care about him. He didn't care enough about himself at first when he went over there touching people with Ebola, and then got on an airplane and two airplanes, and then came home and was in an apartment with his family members. So come on. Let's have some gratitude for people that actually, medical people that actually risk their lives taking care of people with these contagious diseases. But how do you think they're going to contain this? This one is pretty bad. You have to be in quarantine for 21 days when you come in contact with Ebola. 21 days you can't go out of the house. You can't go grocery shopping. And if people think that you might have Ebola, they're not going to want to come to your house and drop off groceries. That's for sure. So the Bible talks about these kind of things, about plagues and pestilence in the end times, and we're seeing this. This is a bad, bad epidemic, and we need to be careful. Of course, we know that we have Psalm 91, that no evil will befall us and no plague will come nigh our dwelling. So, amen. You know, thank you, Jesus, for Psalm 91. But we need to be wise and careful about what we do, what we touch, and where we travel. So just be careful and be wise. But I think that in the future, this is going to be a bad one. And this needs to be something that we look out for, because it truly, these days, the days we're living in, I never thought I was going to see anything like these times, especially as a Christian. And we saw some things in the past during our early Christianity, but now the things we're seeing, the apostasy we're seeing, the falling away we're seeing, I've never seen anything like it, and there's more to come. So we have to have fellowship with each other and pray for each other and stay in the Word and know that Word so that we're not deceived. Because if a man that is the founder of a so-called Christian television network who's seen all over the world, can leave his wife and his children and the network and run off with a jazz singer, that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. So anyway, let's look at a couple scriptures here. I'm going to read a couple scriptures because I want you to see that it is in the Bible, the word to go a-whoring. And Hosea 9:1, rejoice not, O Israel, for joy as other people, for thou hast gone a-whoring from thy God. Thou hast loved a reward upon every corn floor. Hosea 4:12, my people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms has caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. Ezekiel 23:30, I will do these things unto thee because thou hast gone a-whoring after the heathen, and because thou art polluted with their idols. Psalm 106:39, thus were they defiled with their own works and went a-whoring with their own inventions. And this, a lot of this goes along with the inventions of celebrating Jewish feast days, that these are some kind of special days where God rains money down from heaven. He didn't do it in the Old Testament. He never rained any money down from heaven. I don't remember that they were bringing money during these feast days. Most of the time they were bringing animals as sacrifices. They were bringing their crops. So they make these things up, just like Psalm 106 says, they were defiled with their own works and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Psalm 73:27, for lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. So if you go on the internet, and or if you have a concordance at home, you can look up the word. There's quite a few scriptures here that talk about this, and you can see it for yourself. God uses strong language when he's talking about idolatry, when he's talking about using loving money more than loving him. So this is a word from God to these pimp preachers. You cannot have your own way. You can't do it your way. It might work for a while. You might enjoy your Rolex watches and your Rolls Royces and your jets and your mansions, and you might love all that for a while. But in an instant, God can take it all away from you, and you won't be able to blame anybody on the internet. You won't be able to blame anybody that wrote a book about you. You won't be able to blame anybody that said anything about you, because it'll be God. You can't hold the Bible in your hand and say, thus saith the Lord, and you're nothing but a liar and a cheat. It just doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. You can do it for a while, but you can ask someone like Jim Baker. He spent 5 years in a federal penitentiary. God took everything away from him. If you go to PTL today, if you go to Fort Mill, North Carolina, most of those buildings are gone that were there. And you can see, if you look on the internet, you can see some videos. Most of the buildings are deserted and falling apart. Everything he built was taken away from him. And believe me, if God didn't want it to happen, it wouldn't have happened. But God allowed it to happen. I don't want to have to go through that. I don't want to have to go through 5 years in a federal prison. I don't want to have to go through being judged by God. So we have to live our lives with integrity, honesty, and try to do the best we can do and treat people the way we want to be treated. Don't misuse the gospel. Don't misuse the brothers and sisters in Christ. God doesn't like that. He doesn't like that. So these people, they think that they're getting away with it now. And you even see some of these so-called ministries suing people. They want to sue people that say anything about them or try to bring them some correction. But they don't have to be afraid of me, or they don't have to be afraid of the other people on the internet. They better be afraid of God. That's who they better be afraid of. So we're only out there sounding the alarm and trying to warn these people. Get saved. Give your life to Jesus. Serve God. Because when you serve God, there's no sorrow. God doesn't add any sorrow with it. Who wouldn't want such a wonderful life as serving the Lord Jesus Christ? It's a wonderful life. I wouldn't trade it for anything. There's no way I would ever go back to my old life, ever. There was nothing about being in the world and serving the devil that, why would anybody want to go back to that? It's just like Rory Alec of God TV, and maybe some of you have never seen it, but it is on satellite, on some of the cable networks, I guess, and some of the satellite companies. And anyway, they founded this network sometime in the 1990s, mainly in Europe, because there wasn't anything in Europe at the time. There wasn't a full-time Christian television network. So Wendy and Rory Alec started this network, and then they started realizing that there was big money in television. And of course, what they don't tell you, for the most part, I never hear them saying it on any of the networks, is that they make anywhere, say TBN or Daystar, they make maybe $20 to $50 million a year just selling the airtime. So they don't really ever need to do a telethon, but they always tell you that we have to do these telethons to stay on the air and to raise money for our ministries. But they really, for the most part, the reason they do the telethons is so they can buy other stations and they can buy other headquarters like God TV. They now have a headquarters in Israel. They have a new headquarters that I think they're spending $10 million or $20 million on this place in Plymouth, England. And so they keep building and they keep adding on and they keep putting more stress on themselves to expand instead of being happy with, okay, we have a network. So be happy with that, that your principal goal was to preach the gospel to people. So be happy that you have an outlet. So I'm happy that I have my outlet on Blog Talk Radio. If God wants to expand it, then he will have to do it. But for the time being, I have this outlet. I'm very happy with it. I'm happy with the fact that I can reach out to people and I don't have to spend $1 million. I don't have to spend $100,000. I don't have to spend tens of thousands of dollars to do it. So they do. And then they put all this stress and strain on themselves to expand. And so then they have to resort to these pimp preacher tactics like Wendy and Rory did. But if you ever watched, especially Rory, if you ever watched him, he looked like a phony. He just looked like an actor to me, like he was acting. He seemed very insincere. when he talked, and then the fundraising, you know, with people like Steve Muncy and Mike Murdoch, and most of us know the type of tactics they use. So maybe, just maybe, he got sick of it all, and he probably said to himself, I am sick of all this. I don't want to be a phony anymore. I want to go get a girlfriend, and I want to do whatever I want to do, and I'm going to do it, and I don't care about my wife, and I don't care about God. I'm just going to do whatever I want. And that's what he did. So you can look up these stories on the internet, and I'm going to play a clip here from Wendy, because she did go on the air, and she did confess everything, and I'm glad that, you know, she did do that. Of course, he's been gone, basically, according to her, since March off and on, and just a few weeks ago, he said that he wasn't coming back to the network, and he wasn't coming back to her, and so I guess it's time now for them to do their telethon. So they have to explain to people why he's not there. And eventually they were going to have to bring it out, because if he doesn't come back, they're going to have to tell people where he is. So anyway, I'm going to play this clip from Wendy talking about Rory.
Yesterday, I have to tell you guys, it is not like that. Rory is on this lady's father's farm in South Africa. He doesn't want to be involved in the ministry anymore in God TV. And as far as he's concerned, the marriage is finished. And he doesn't want restoration. He doesn't want counseling. He doesn't want anything to do with it. And basically, he wants a new life. And that is where it's easy for me telling you that now. It's different when you go back to the hotel and you realize, I mean, I know this sounds dramatic, but you know what? When you've been married to someone for 27 years, it is dramatic, because the thing is, it's like your life is over. You know, all my memories, I'm just talking personally for me, but with Rory since I was like 22 years old.
Yeah. 27 years of marriage. And it's over. He doesn't want to be married anymore. I've seen this happen to my friends. I had a friend, her and her husband were in ministry. They had a ministry headquarters, and they had a secretary who they trusted. She trusted, maybe. And anyway, she goes home for lunch. She went home for lunch on her own, and when she got home, she noticed that her husband's clothes were not in the closet. So she's wondering, okay, like, what's going on here? So she rushes back to the ministry headquarters, and the secretary is gone, and the husband is gone. And so then she kind of put two and two together, and they ran off with each other. So anyway, she hires a private detective to find him. She didn't know where he went. And he was located, and she went to the house without him knowing that she was going to appear on the doorstep. So she appears on the doorstep and knocks on the door, and they open the door, her husband and this woman that he ran off with, and she goes inside, and she said she's sitting on the couch, and they're sitting on the other couch across from her, and they looked at her, and they said, "We're supposed to be married." And the woman says, "He's not supposed to be married to you. He's supposed to be married to me." And she's looking at them like, this is surreal. What is going on? And anyway, this man never did come back to his marriage. He wound up marrying this woman. I don't know what has ever become of him. And the same thing happened here a few years ago in Florida. The head of one of the Christian television networks here ran off with a woman that he was working with there at the station, someone else's wife, and he had a wife too, and they ran off together, and they handed the station over, I think, to the man's son, the man that his wife ran off with the president. They had, somehow, some way, the son wound up running the station of the adulterous woman. And that whole thing was a debacle. But thank God, somehow, some way, the president of the Christian television network, something happened to him and he came back to his senses. And anyway, he came back to his wife and their marriage was restored. And then he came back to the network after they almost lost it. But I'm like, what is going on around here? You know, it's crazy. Insane. At the time that this happened here, though, the newspapers basically left the story alone. But they're not letting this one alone there in England with the God TV channel. The newspapers are following it. And if you get a real nosy reporter that wants a story, they're going to go around and they're going to dig some stuff up. And but if you don't have anything to hide, you don't have anything to worry about. But apparently, you know, when you're not honest with your ministry that God has given you, then you probably do have some things you're going to want to hide. And it's just like the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. It does. You know, God's merciful to all of us, isn't he? And he will hide our sins. But if we are in open rebellion, an open rebellion for all the world to see, well, he's not going to hide it. He is going to try. He's going to try to break you, and he's going to try to get your attention because he wants to save your life so you don't wind up in hell. Hell is a real place. I know people don't like to talk about it too much nowadays because they're afraid they might hurt somebody's feelings. Well, hell is real. It's a real place, and people go there. People that don't obey God, and they won't serve God. And this life is but a vapor. You're just passing through here. But eternity is forever. It's forever. So let me read a couple scriptures to you about hell so you can see it for yourself. Now, if you look in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 5:5 talks about an adulterous woman, and her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Proverbs 7:27, her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Proverbs 9:18, but he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Proverbs 15:11, hell and destruction are before the Lord, how much more than the hearts of the children of men. So this woman that ran off with Rory Alec and then the woman that ran off with Wendy's husband claims now that the Lord spoke to her in an audible voice that Rory is supposed to be her husband. Well, I wouldn't want to be her. Especially if I read Proverbs 7:27, that her house is the way to hell, and he's living over at her house in South Africa, going down to the chambers of death. I wouldn't want to be either one of them. No way. No way. So I'm going to prepare a little message for Wendy Alec, and I hope she listens. I feel for her at this time as far as the pain that she's experiencing by her husband running off on her. Yes, it is very painful, very painful. But I hope that she'll take this time to reflect on her own life, on the way that they have run the ministry that's been entrusted to them, that it will be a time for her to do some soul searching, because I noticed that even on this telethon that they're doing, they're kind of resorting to their old tactics of with the seed sowing and this kind of thing. This is not the time for that. This is not the time for that. This network could fall apart. They can lose it. They could lose everything they work for 27 years because of this that has happened. And so the time now is for Wendy and the whole God TV staff to get together and get on their knees and cry out to God and ask God how they could change things and what they need to do to make it right in God's sight, for God to restore the family, and most of all, to make sure that Wendy and Rory Alec are really born again. I don't know, but Jesus said, you'll know people by their fruit. I don't see the them exhibiting the fruit of salvation over their network by broadcasting false prophets and money-grubbing preachers. I don't see the fruit. But that is my message to Wendy Alec, is to take this time of pain and to search yourself and to ask God to bring people to you that will tell you the truth. Because the Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. When someone's really your friend and they really love you and they tell you the truth, it might hurt at first. Yeah, it hurts. Because sometimes you think, well, they don't really understand. But sometimes, because they love you, that truth is going to help you. That truth is going to rescue you from destroying yourself. God has put in his word the way that we're supposed to live. And being a Christian is a wonderful life. It's not hard to serve the Lord. No, it's not hard. It was a lot harder to serve the devil and a lot more painful. But we have to follow his principles and try to do the best we can do. So that's my message to Wendy Alec, and pray for this man, Rory Alec, that he gets out of the clutches of this adulterous relationship that is going to destroy him and possibly his eternal salvation. And the people there at God TV, that perhaps they would tune in to this program or read some of the other articles on the internet and take it to heart. We don't hate these people. We don't like what they're doing. We don't like the misrepresentation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't appreciate the gospel being made a laughing stock of before a lost and dying world, that this is some kind of a lottery that just pick a number and throw some money on an altar, and this kind of game that they play before the world. No, we don't like that, but we can have some human compassion for these people and pray for them and their children and their children's children that have to deal with this, because the Bible says that your name is important. What you're going to leave behind is important. Now, the name of God TV is ruined in the eyes of the world. The name of God, of Rory Alec and Wendy Alec, is ruined forever. People will not remember, for the most part, the good that they did. They're going to remember that Rory Alec committed adultery. So that's what they're going to leave behind. we don't want to leave those kind of things behind us when we go. We had somebody like Dave Wilkerson. He didn't leave any skeletons in his closet behind when he left. He left a godly testimony when he left this earth. There's other men and women of God that can leave something behind that's a blessing to people, not to leave this kind of a legacy behind. So it's important to keep a good name and to have integrity in the things that we do. But anyway, I'm probably not going to get to these other clips I have of Rod Parsley. And but before we close, let me just play this last clip from Wendy. It's about 5 minutes long, and then we'll close out.
Imagine a wife, okay? I was like, my whole world started turning upside down. And the next morning, he just went. And it started a pattern, and that was extremely, extremely traumatic. It started to be extremely emotionally traumatic for me, and to cope with emotionally, because suddenly my husband was just not, started to change in a pattern and a way I have never seen him act before. And as I said, I mean, I've known, you know, you guys, you've known your husband, some of you also the same, since they were 18, okay? And that is a long, long time. But I just thought, well, Father, I just read vision from heaven, being able to be really strong with the Father at the time. And so me and I've got wonderful friends. They're all incredible intercessors. So about three of us, you know, I shared with them, and we just kept it quiet because we just believe, let's cover Rory in love, and, you know, we just believe God for breakthrough. We just believe he's had such an amazing encounter. We're just going to stand, we're just going to believe the Father for the breakthrough of this. So that's what we did. And then it got worse, and it got worse, and Rory was away. He just started to just go off, and I was just left. And then when Rory came back, then he started to say to me, you need to keep it quiet for the good of our staff and for the ministry and the viewers. And so I started to feel very manipulated but intimidated. And then having to deal, you must understand, you feel like you... And then he started to say he didn't know if he wanted to be married or, you know, or not. And things, I could see things were happening with his soul. Like there was something, there was just something wrong. So I got hold of... Esther Bosso, wonderful, wonderful minister that we really trusted, I really trust, I talked to him, and we really wanted to just see if maybe he would counsel us, or if Rory would go for counseling, okay? Sorry, I know this is long, I'm just trying to just tell you the whole thing so you can understand and see the journey, okay? And of course, all of us, we really, really thought that Rory was, and I believe he was, having this terrible burnout after carrying the financial burden of the ministry, because it had caused incredible pressure on him for years and years. And our family has seen that, our children have seen that, those close to Rory have seen that. And so we just carried on believing for a breakthrough. And unfortunately, by that time, something had happened in Rory's heart, and he just would not. He did not trust anybody to go to counseling. He did not trust any minister for ministry. He did not trust anyone to go and share his heart for counseling. You must also understand that Christian television, in a way, we've got wonderful, wonderful people that you see on Christian television, but in the beginning years, it was a really cutthroat. Ministry can be cutthroat. And they can, you know, for Rory, I had seen that he'd been let down a lot, you know, by ministers. And I mean, the one thing Ethel Vosa said to me when we talked, he said, you know, he said, we need to repent for the lack of apostolic fathers, you know, for visionaries, for apostolic visionaries like Rory and I and many others, because there's been a dearth of apostolic fathers that people can really, really trust, especially that the men can really, really trust. Anyway, so still thinking that it was really just burnout, and Rory still saying, I need space, just give me space. So he started going away for like weeks at a time, but it seemed like every time he had more space, it just got worse and worse for our marriage. And by that time, I mean, to live like that for me, I mean, it was really, really hard. Anyway, then I got taken into emergency on Global Day of Prayer for gallbladder operation, which actually the Lord turned to absolute amazing good, because I was so ill. They found that I had such an infection, it was almost septicemia, my infection levels were sky high, and they found that that had been like seeping through my bloodstream probably for a year, maybe a year and a half, which is why after I'd been so ill with gastroparesis before, I hadn't got better. And so I was put on the NHS emergency list. They were wonderful to me. But what happened was that during that time, when I was so ill, I was in the hospital, and Rory just flew off. And he flew off to Austria, and he would keep going to Austria. And finally, my brother, who's a doctor, I was so sick that my brother said, Rory, you need to come home now. You need to come home right now, because he would have told me how sick I was, but he told Rory, he knew how sick I was. And Rory came home. He was back until, I got out of hospital 2 days later after I was out of hospital.
Anyway, she continues to tell the story, you can find it on God TV, that here's his wife in the hospital, just got out of the hospital after surgery, and he flies back from Austria where his girlfriend is, and he comes home for 2 days, and his wife is recuperating from major surgery, and he just leaves her again. So apparently this man is not in his right mind. Dear Lord. Anyway, remember this man in your prayers, Rory Alec, that God will save his soul, save him from destruction, and that Wendy and this whole God TV network will fall on their knees and cry out to God for repentance and for change, to do some good for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to do ministry because you love people and you love to help people, not because you're trying to build some kind of a kingdom. It's going to collapse. No human being can do it. We're not made to do it. She talked about him having burnout. Yeah, I guess he's got burnout. Yeah, I guess he does, because you cannot carry the weight of these kind of business dealings. If you have any conscience at all, eventually it's going to get to you, and it could destroy you. So anyway, that's our program for today. Don't forget, next week we have Jackie Alnor, and she's getting back from her trip to England, Scotland, and Wales, and we'll have a great report from her. And then the week after, we'll have Moses Preston, and we will be—he's the publishing company that published the book Paula White First Fruits She Wolf and Paula White First Fruits Fleecer. You can see those books or buy those books on prosperitytruthexposed.com. But we'll be talking about, does God have seasons? Does God have a calendar? We'll be talking about all those things. Does God have a portal in heaven? We'll be talking about that the week after. So if you have any requests, if you'd like to have any topics discussed, or you have any program ideas or ideas for a guest, please email me, Susan@propheticnews.com. But I want to thank you all for tuning in. Thanks, everybody in the chat room. Hi, and thank you for coming by. Thank you for listening. And the most important thing today is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you repented of your sins today? Jesus said in the third chapter of John that ye must be born again. First you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. Ask Jesus Christ to come into your life today. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Ask him to be your Lord and your Savior. And get out that Bible and read it. You'll find out that it's a book you will love. It's God's book to us on how to live our life and how to live a successful life. God bless you. Hey,
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.